Yeah,
right,
I'm on.
There. So, I'm very anxious to hear. Do we want to record this or not?
You can record it.
You can record it. It's fine. Barry's in a pre-trial preparation for tomorrow, and we were trying to move this call. I emailed Lori and Cindy this morning, and I didn't hear back from either one of them, which is weird because, like, normally they respond to me at, like, 10 o'clock at night.
I know. That's usual. I'm surprised, to be honest with you.
Yeah, maybe it's possible I accidentally deleted something from one of them or what, but
we had quite a bit of conversation the last time. I just wanted to see what the outcome was.
Go ahead, Ryan. The outcome was favorable.
Yeah, you can talk, Larry. It's fine.
Well, the outcome, in my opinion, was very favorable. We kind of needed Barry to realize that he was not holding up his end of the bargain, and he wasn't he was taking a lot of our resources and time, I guess, for lack of a better term. But that's the alarm for me. Sorry.
Yeah, so what was the net outcome? What did you end up with? I had some percentages. What did you end up negotiating?
We end up adjusting compensation, as well as, more importantly, even adjusting the, the perception of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give up 2% of revenue next year, and he's going to he agreed to new splits that give premiums to new assets brought in, and then also to sharing future business equally from anything sourced internally within Morgan Stanley. And we're also going to have some type of metrics put in place that will value team membership, rah-rahness, and also track our business to a degree. So if he or anyone does not want to participate in the team, they have that option, but they will not be paid as if they are participating fully in the team. So some further refinement is needed, but
team and community.
Next year Barry's basically got a 7% pay cut, three quarters of that is going to Larry, and one quarter of that is going to me. And Larry and Barry and I will all, on new business, be able to get compensated at a 50% payout for the first 12 months. To motivate people to bring in new business, and then that business is going to slide to an equal share instead of the unequal share that we currently have set up. So we're essentially locking in our legacy book and kind of working towards creating a new book at more of an equal share. The refinement we need is to figure out, as that legacy book rolls off, we give away accounts. As we do other stuff, those splits are going to be getting wonkier. Like, you know, in the legacy book, for instance, my clients are much younger than Barry's clients. So 5 years from now, there's a chance that my legacy is going to be performing at a substantially better position than his will. You know, like, mm-hmm. How do we account for that? And then also, if everything's going into an equal split number after being enjoyed at a premium rate for 1 year, what prevents us from having everyone just coast at the equal split number? And in terms of getting metrics in place to define team membership and corporate citizenship, or, you know, whatever we want to call it, you know, we've basically said in as polite and unpolite of a way as possible that, you know, we've heard it before, Yeah, you're going to recommit. You know, so far since we've had this meeting, he's like raised fees on like 8 of his clients, and all of a sudden he's found all this business, and he's Mr. Motivated, and you know,
mm-hmm.
Things got pretty ugly before we got to this point. You know, like he called me up with his attorney, significant other on the phone, and started asking me all these difficult questions, and I, quite frankly, laid into him, and you know. I end up calling significant other the next day or reaching out to her, letting her know, sorry for getting loud. But
it's frustrating that we had to get to that point. That's also an issue. It is what it is. So.
Yeah, I don't think things were approached the best way with Barry either. And we kind of knew what reaction was going to happen. And Larry went in there and pissed on the hornet's nest and, didn't expect the hornets to start flying out, I guess. I don't know. You know, it was not handled the way we discussed handling it in the first place, and that put him in hyperspace instantly. And then, you know, it got worse when he was looking for me. Like what he likes to do at that point is to isolate one of us to start to agree with them, and I wasn't having any of it, you know, so it just got worse and worse. So I think upon further reflection, he realized along with all of us that we're much better as a group, and, you know, splitting things up would be a tremendous, tremendous issue for all of us in a lot of different ways. I don't think that...
Nobody wanted that. The whole idea was to just get Barry engaged, not to disown him.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the actual numbers for the split? Because we had 37.5, 34, 28.5. Is that what you ended up with?
No. No. What it's going to effectively be next year will be 38, 34.5, and 27.5. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you at now, Ryan?
I'm at 27. I deferred and said to give you the bulk of it because you guys were accommodating me more with the new asset number and with the equal share on the PM business.
Right.
I'm gonna pick up some there. And, you know, Rob, part of it with Barry, and, you know, I understood this aspect of it, you know, he's reluctant to give up share because, you know, he views this, you know, part of the big issue is he views it as like he's a founding partner of this firm or whatever, where it's really just the three of us, you know.
Him and a significant other
use the words, gave me my career on the phone call we had where I completely lost my mind. Betrayal for talking to management and you about this, you know, like it wasn't as upset about you as it was about management, but, you know, like total betrayal that we, you know, had discussions behind his back and he would have never done that to us. And, you know, like,
right, right.
You know, he was the victim immediately.
Of course. That's okay, though. I mean, look, it came out the way you wanted it, or close to it. I like the third, a third, and a third on new business. I think that's great. And, you know, so it's all front-end loaded. I mean, it's not back-end loaded based on a legacy. There's a lot more emphasis on new business, which is where you want to go. And, you know, and how are you going to account for the I'm not sure what you're going to call it, but I don't see any percentage or anything left for subjective bonus.
Well, that's where we're
team and community.
The community thing. Let's call it a subjective bonus, right? I mean, that's what you're talking about. But where does it come out of?
One of the biggest sticking points of our negotiations was that Barry could not wrap his head around the team split should be anything other than business generated. And then another sticking point in the discussion was that his practice is already the most supernovaed, essentially, and that as we offload clients, then, you know, he's not going to be trailing Larry as much if Larry gets rid of some of his garbage clients, you know, essentially, which mm-hmm. is a correct and truthful statement. You know, so right now, Tim's on the phone with us too, but with Tim here, the whole team will be enjoying the revenue from the lower end clients for at least another few years. So, you know, it's an imperfect situation.
So there is no place that bonus, subjective bonus, comes out of, right? There is no bonus?
Well, no. He agreed that we need to have some type of behavioral accountability, but we're not sure what that is yet. That's where we need insight from you and from maybe, you know, other sources on how we implement that. Because he's like, oh, well, if I generate 35% of the revenue and I'm getting 36.5%, that's only a 1.5% difference. There's no way I'm agreeing to give up more than that. We're like, yeah, well, you know, that is correct, but when Larry and I are forced to handle all your stuff, that takes away from the amount of business we can generate, and, you know, you wouldn't be 36.5% if we were doing other business.
But Larry's also doing that and generating more business, and the one that's actually the most, you know, I'm the most supernovaed from the standpoint of have the most clients that are actively in the program, making calls, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Larry makes more calls on a call cycle.
But you use that to sell the difference in the split. So that's what I'm hearing.
I didn't know that I was that much ahead of everybody else. I know Barry has less clients than everybody else, and I know I have more, but from Barry and Ryan to me, I have almost double the amount of people in on the call cycle than everybody else.
That's not necessarily a great thing, Larry.
Right. That may be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the sense that it takes more work and more time and less time to prospect. So you might want to really think about that and say, you know, why don't I get down to, I mean, how many clients are you trying to serve now?
Larry has like 100 different physical mailing addresses, but a good bit of those.
I want to get down to 75.
Right. That's good. That's a really good goal for this year.
Yeah.
Barry has about 53 mailing addresses, and I have about 62 mailing addresses.
Okay. So, truthfully, if Barry got up to 70 and you got up to 70, everybody being in pretty good shape, right?
Yes. Yeah. But where we're struggling, Rob, somewhat, is how do we, you know, like Barry got into a situation where a conversation with me where, like, one of Barry's good clients introduced us to his CPA, and through the years, we've nurtured that relationship, and the CPA, quite frankly, has been sending referrals to me for the last few years because Barry stopped really, you know, nurturing that relationship. She actually brought her personal accounts in. Yeah, she brought her personal accounts in with me, you know, like... Right, so Barry's like, well, you wouldn't have had any of that if it wasn't for me. I guess technically he's right. If he never met her, I would have never met her and whatever. But, like, there's relationships where I view it as we would have lost those clients or lost those centers of influence if I didn't get involved. And he views it as, oh, well, that was sourced from me, so you owe me, you know, you owe me for that aspect of things. And I understood what he was saying to a degree, but, you know, like, he has a, you know, like, we all have clients that started with each other that we now work with because it was a better fit, and that's what makes a good team. But it's kind of like, as we're tracking things, at a certain point, you know, like, how does that revenue get divvied up? You know, like...
You there?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we're here. You know, it's like, who gets credit for that, and how do we judge that, and should we service people... who are in other people's revenue thing, but then why am I spending my time servicing someone who somebody else is getting the revenue for? You know, like it's, you start to get into really difficult.
But we still have to do what's right in the process, though. I mean, right. Sagan's yours.
You really don't want to have any, you don't want any of these conversations in reality. If everybody was pulling their weight, you'd never have this talk. But they're not. So you just have to have this talk. And my suggestion is just book it for November or, you know, the first week of December and book it every year as a meeting that you guys are going to have, and it's your compensation meeting. You know, you're the board of directors for your own company. You're going to meet and decide and just look at it every year instead of going. The problem is you go 3 years or 4 years with a distorted compensation plan, and it wrecks the morale. So if you do it every year and make tiny adjustments every year based on performance, then nobody's going to get upset. You just, it is what it is. You got a problem with the family and all this stuff? Okay, that's the way it goes. You know, we carried you, so we're going to get paid. You know, if somebody's bringing it all, I got to get paid for that.
So how do we do that? You know, so as a for instance, Rob, like this year I brought in a lot of money, and it's a lot of younger money too. And, you know, so when we lock in our number for the next 12 months, I anticipate that I'm going to gain ground over the next 12 months, you know?
Sure.
But also, you know, like there's been a component of my compensation that typically has been subsidized by Barry and Larry because I end up handling a lot of the team sales initiatives and, you know, coming up with, you know, I end up having to pitch a lot of things to a lot of people's clients, and I'm kind of do a lot on that side of the fence. So it's like, what is that worth? You know, or is it worth anything? Or, you know, at a certain point, it's not worth anything anymore. But then, you know, I'm still doing it. You know, like there's a lot of these things. And then also, right. like, you know, go ahead.
So one of the things that you guys need to do is really adhere to this 5-star model, because the point is that you're doing a lot of things for the team. Everybody should be doing a lot of things for the team. Okay. That's the idea, all right? That's just part of the job you do for the team. Everybody should, you know, the director of planning should be doing a lot of things that they don't get paid for. And same with implementation, the money management side of things. And the same with brand management, and the same with marketing, and the same with leadership. Now, you guys, you know, you put in so many hours of this, basically, you know, your extracurricular, but really your primary job is to be a team member. It should work out that everybody's putting in a fair and equal amount of energy to build the team. When that doesn't happen, to me, that goes back to our split, right? We decide that the split makes up for the amount of effort and time somebody's putting in. So that's where the negotiation is. There's no way you guys can save 2% for subjective bonus because it just won't work. So you put it into the split, and every year somebody's going to get a little bit screwed, but over time, if you adjust it every year, it will make up for whatever. It'll gradually make up for that. Over the next 10 years, just think about adjusting it a little bit every year over the next 10 years, what that will look like. Okay. And that's where you, and then, you know, you own it forever then. So I think that's the way that's the best way that I can tell you that to make it work. Just keep it out there as something that you are going to discuss regularly. And then it doesn't become this terrible thing that nobody ever wants to talk about. It just is what we do every year. It's a ritual. We talk about comp every year.
So how do you suggest we do that?
I think what you do is you bring your story to the table. Everybody brings their story. You know, this is This is how the team did overall. This is the math. Okay. And
right.
then this is what I did for the team. Okay. An interesting way to do it would be to give your responsibility to somebody else to sell your participation in the team. Okay. That would be very interesting. Meaning, you make your case, but you're not your lone lawyer. You pick a partner to be your lawyer to make your case. Why should you, you know, get a bigger percentage? So Barry would sell your story, Ryan, on why you should get a bigger percentage. And you should sell his story on why he should get a bigger percentage. And Larry, you know, somebody else does Larry. So it's an interesting thought anyway.
Okay. Barry texted me and said he's on the call.
I'm here.
Okay. Hey, Barry.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. Interesting times. Good conversation. So I think that if you guys can just bring it out in the light of day every year, you're going to have a better experience with each other than you will if you don't discuss it for several years.
And, my comment to Ryan and Larry was is that you do something, you know, there's an expectation and you plan ahead for it and you have it outlined as to what's going to happen instead of just randomly saying, okay, it's time to do this.
Right. I agree. I think that was my feeling versus
saying to somebody, hey, I deserve an extra one or this or that. I said, you set the expectations and you work towards that and everybody knows what they're risking going forward.
Right. So I think you just set this as, you know, December, the week of December 1st, Monday, you know, December 1st, you sit down and have a compensation meeting just like you would step one for a whole company, right? You may not change it, but you talk about it every year. And, you give yourselves enough time as the board of directors or the company to set your compensation every year based on. And what I was saying to Ryan and to Larry was that just go into the meeting with all the numbers. So nobody's – and give them out ahead of time. So everybody knows what exactly the math is. And then based on your efforts and your commitment to the team – you make your case for yourself, and then I was just saying, why don't you have somebody else make the case for you, be your advocate. Interesting idea. I'm not sure it would work, but it would be an interesting idea. But anyway,
how much do you think should be in that pot? Like, do you think that's something like 5% or 10% or, you know, like what's the...
Well, you can't really... I guess you could. I mean, when managers get paid, they get a percentage of the bottom line net after, you know, expenses. And so that's accurate. You know, that's math. And then they get a good piece of their pie is based on subjective bonus. Probably 40% is subjective. And it's based on what they call the critical few objectives. So what you do is you put down a list of the things that you guys think are the most important things in terms of moving the ball down the field. Okay? So for managers, it would be net new money, right? That would be a big one. It might be if they're trying to focus on financial planning – it would be a number of financial plans done per FA. And then and sometimes it's versus the firm in terms of a kind of a staff ranking, and sometimes it's direct. You know, if you hit this number, you get this. This is a far exceed. So then you can work for it. So you guys may say to yourselves, okay, why don't we do this? Why don't we say that the five stars are each going to have 1%? Okay? That'll be a 5% quote subjective bonus, right? You want to. Then the director of planning sets the goal, and if they hit the goal, they basically, and the quality experience and all that, to do their job as director of planning, they get 1%. And director of implementation, they do the 24-month schedule, they hold people accountable to it, you do your investment plan, you do your, you know, the liability planning, you do the training for everybody every month, and they, you really do your job as director of implementation. Director of brand management does Supernova, takes care of, you know, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution, you get your 1%. Director of marketing, you hit your goals in terms of net new money, relationships, whatever, however you want to measure marketing. Let's say it's net new money. That'd be pretty simple, right? Then you get your 1%. And then you might want to make it, you know, more, a little more complicated so that you know the person actually worked to get it. It wasn't just luck. And then director of leadership would be, if the team hits their overall goals, then director of leadership gets 1%. Now, it'd be nice if you could actually hold 5% back, but you can't. But you could help yourselves by doing that. You know what I mean? You could do that as what are we doing in the future for next year in terms of?
You can actually do it in the form of, like, probably some sort of, because we get our AFG allocation or something along those lines. Probably do it like that. When we get our awards for could be shifted.
Okay. However, you can do it.
Yeah.
I think the reward behavior.
BDA is what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. Because we could put in there to allocate some of our BDA to somebody else.
Yeah, BDA is not a lot of money.
No.
But this, you see what I'm, Ryan, you see what I'm saying? That you're not just compensating somebody for, you know, I know you manage the money, you know, you manage a portfolio. That's great. But, you know, somebody's doing financial planning, somebody's doing the Supernova process and problem solving and all that. Somebody's doing marketing and somebody's doing leadership. They should get paid. Now, and if theoretically, if you do more work and you take more leadership roles, you know, you might be competing already for 2 or 3% because you're taking more of the team responsibilities. That may be too much. You could say it's a half a point each. Whatever. You know, whatever you guys think. But that's not a bad model. And that would be, you know, for me, you know, to watch you guys do that would be really interesting from a clinical point of view, you know, seeing the results. I think it would solve your problem.
I could see, you know, that would help keep you accountable, to do your role, so to speak. But then whoever, if we have three people and five things, whoever's only signed up for one is behind the eight ball, so to speak, already.
But then they could bring in more money, and if you've got that percentage of revenues, you know, you're getting 50% of new revenues, they could make it up on that. Because they weren't working as much on team stuff.
Or even Tim may take over one type of department as well.
Okay, you need to take over two, and each of us would have one, though.
Okay, well.
So you
I
mean
don't know
it's
if
a good
capable of that.
Right, it's a good idea, okay? I mean, I think it's a good idea. You may not, but I think it's kind of make sure that you're not.
Or we add another star, and then each of us can have two. Yeah.
Or you can share a star. I mean, you could all share the star. I don't care how you do that. Just work out the logistics.
Right.
But if you use that, use the model, then you can work out the percentages and logistics and who's doing what and all that. But I think you'd probably take the jobs more seriously that way. I mean, I think everybody would. Yeah, as a manager, I sure as hell took it seriously.
I don't know. For 1%, I'll let somebody else do all the plans, and I'll go do something else. I'll go find more money.
Well, I mean, seriously, that's the choice. You do it for the team, or you do it for the money, or you do it for both, or you do it for neither.
Right. Yeah. That was a sticking point for us in terms of we're trying to figure out compensation. You know, like. What is a team contribution and you know how do you quantify it? Like it's really hard because we've never been the type to say you must sit in the office for 40 hours a week, because quite frankly, if you're doing that, that's probably not a good thing. It means you don't have anything better to do.
Right.
But there's some type of balance to where you know, being in the office, if you're not in the office, somebody else does have to handle stuff that comes up in your absence. So, you know, if Larry wants to work 4 days a week and he's bringing in additional assets, then I don't think any of us have an issue with him working 4 days a week. You know, if he wants to work 4 days a week and his business is declining, then that's where we... you know, would have an issue. That's what we went through with our last partner, who decided he was semi-retired and going to take a senior share of the team while generating half of that. You know, like, so that's kind of, you know.
I think we've beaten the horse pretty well here. Any comments from you guys, Barry, Larry, on this? Will that work?
No, I just think. Yeah, I like that. I like that idea. I would like to, you know, there's got to be common sense and a balance of being in the office as well as being out of the office. Being in the office, not doing anything or doing other stuff doesn't help. Being out of the office and not working on the practice doesn't really help either, opposed to being out of the office and, you know, trying to do community involvement, being out of the office, trying to have time with clients, spending time at their kitchen table is always preferable.
Well, that comes down to the marketing director, right? So theoretically, if you're having your game board or your giving board meeting on what's happening with marketing, those conversations are happening every week. Okay, what are you doing on marketing and how are you doing it? So you should not have much of a gap between, you know, times when you set the priorities and set the goals so you know you're off track, right? Because you're reporting into each other every single week what you're doing. And that, to me, would hold you accountable to an active prospecting model. And then the marketing director reports to the team, and they hold that person's accountable for their 1% at the end of the year. So, you know, everybody's contributing. That's where it would show up. Sabotaging the team's marketing by not committing to marketing efforts. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's ultimately got to be a recommitment to the process as well.
Yeah.
If we're gonna get there to where we want to be.
meetings to...
Right. You got to have your meetings. You got to be meeting. You know, you can't, you can be phoning in. That's okay. But you got to be there. You got to, you know, you have your Monday marketing meeting. You have your Friday or Thursday afternoon 5-star meeting. And, you know, you set your goals and you achieve them. It doesn't have to be long. It's just, this is what I did. I'm still in touch. It's happening. And these are my results. Okay.
Yeah, Rob, can I ask you one question? I don't know if you're going to have an answer for this off the top of your head, but how and maybe you just said it, be just as if everyone's pulling, it doesn't matter, but like, how do you suggest we handle those situations where one of us sources business that maybe another person would be better off handling? Like, you know, if I bring in a client that I know is a good fit for Barry and I should be handing that client off to Barry, like, do we just say, oh, in the end it's going to even out? Or, you know, in terms of tracking business,
Ryan,
for
Ryan
our...
and I, Rob, Ryan and I had a whole discussion that at the end of the day that the person who brings in the client ultimately deserves credit for the initial bring-in, regardless of who ends up handling the client. Whereas if Larry gives him one, or because I've had clients that I've brought in that Ryan has taken, but those are still attached to things that I brought in. And I think that if you're not going to give the person credit, then you're basically saying, thanks a lot, it's mine now, and that person deserves credit for it, or vice versa.
Well, I think there's some tracking that can be done. I think that the big issue is, you know, that goes into the pool in the end.
Yeah.
And then the pool gets bigger. But it's the initial, the first year where you're getting a 50% split on the, you know, on new business brought in, where I would say, hey, the person that brought the business in that year for that year, that gets 50%. Otherwise, it goes into an even split, and who cares who manages it from then on?
Yeah, I mean, my example,
right, but it,
my
but,
example with Ryan was when Ryan and I were in Texas, and we met with a client that was Larry's referral. Closed, you know, it got closed, but to me, it's still Larry brought it in my mind. He got the reason we were in front of this guy was because of Larry. Period.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree.
Right.
I don't think there's an argument there.
I am in agreement on that side of the fence, where let's just say I bring in somebody that ends up working with Barry, I would still get the 50% kicker on the first year. My question is, for the next 10 years that you're managing that relationship and putting your time into it or whatever, are, you know, or like on our existing, more on the existing book, so to speak, is kind of what I'm getting at, as opposed to once it's in an even split, it doesn't really matter as much. But
yeah,
for like the, like our
try,
existing.
Yeah, I would just suggest that you mentally, everybody try and think of it as, you know, kind of an equal split book. And everybody's contributing to the book, rather than, you know, you can really get hung up on, you know, I did this, but you didn't do that, and I did this, and you didn't do that. I think this particular confrontation that you guys just went through, which was never fun, grew out of too much time between compensation conversations. Okay, so every year, sit down and have this conversation. I don't think you're going to have these issues because you're really
as long as things are as long as it's predictable and there's a process in place and
right.
there's no blindsiding and everybody knows what their exposure is from the beginning.
Right. So you just set it up, and now everybody knows. And a year from now, you know you're going to have a meeting. And you're going to be held accountable for these 5 stars or however you're going to measure it, net new money and a few other things. And you're going to have a meeting just like you would as a me meeting with my national sales director as a regional director. I know when I walk in there, my numbers have got to be there, or I'm going to get dinged, or I'm going to get rewarded. And that's the way you guys have got to think about this. And you know, it's not going to be a huge change, but every time you don't perform, you're going to get dinged. And that's the way it is. And every time you outperform, you're going to get a benefit. And over time...
Was there somebody directly, Barry, that you and Ryan were looking at?
No, we were just talking in general, Larry. We were talking like if there's a client, you know, there's... I mean, obviously, Rob's saying it's irrelevant right now. So I don't... I got to run back into this meeting. I walked out. So I don't want to... I'm sure we can maybe do another call, address it. I don't think it's something we don't want to spend time on right now. Because I think
it's all going to work out in the wash if we keep
it's
doing.
It's fine. It was basically on the concept of. Hang on, Larry, because I got to run back in a second. It was basically on the concept that if you gave Ryan a client, or I gave him a client, or vice versa, that the person who originated the business still deserves some acknowledgement, which was my point to Ryan. You can't just if I hand Ryan or he hands me, it's still. You know, it's still business that was brought in. Sure, the business is being maintained, but that's the whole purpose of a team. You know, right. Sometimes people are just better fits than others, period.
Right.
And
Rob,
it'll work
as my good teammate, we should be doing that.
Yeah, that was my point.
Right. So anyway, I think we've beaten
Rob,
the torch.
Quick,
yeah.
Rob, can I ask you a quick favor? Because I got to run back in. Can you give me a number? I have somebody to introduce you to.
Sure.
And I didn't know what number to call you. Can you give it to Ryan and tell Ryan to text it to me real quick so I can make
Roger.
The introduction?
Sure. Yes,
it's an advisor. It's an advisor that I met up. He's up in, should I forget where? Anyway, he's got a hell of a book and he needs help. So.
Yeah, be happy to do it. Thank you very much. I appreciate the introduction.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Barry, thank you. Thanks for getting on. And Ryan,
no, I'm
Larry,
sorry.
Thank
I,
you.
I don't know if they told you where I am right now. Where I am. What, Ryan?
I didn't say anything.
Yeah. Oh.
Rob, do you want me to send him the cell phone, 317-418-8624?
That's affirmative, yes.
Okay. Yeah, Barry, I told him you were in prep for a trial tomorrow.
Yeah. But I actually walked out of the meeting, so in the middle.
Okay,
what?
Guys, I got to run, but I
thank
appreciate
you.
It. Look forward
thank you,
to it's gone well.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye.